This morning, however, we want to study a little bit in the life of one of many people's favorite Bible personalities, and that being the Apostle Paul. A lot of people like him a lot. He represents for us many good things and also shows us some bad things that we can overcome. He overcame some of the bad things that he did in his past to be able to move forward with his life, and teaches us that we can as well. Our lesson this morning is Saul, conversion and spiritual growth. Now, Saul becoming Paul is a great example of conversion. Great example of change for the better. There are many of us who find it very easy to change, but it's a change for the worse. Those changes are always easy. Oh, it's easy to change for the worse, but changing for the better, being converted from something bad to something good, is much, much more difficult. I want to mention, before we get into the lesson too far, some people get confused about when we talk about Saul and Paul, and they say, well, now, what is that difference with those two names? In essence, the only difference is one was a Jewish name, a Hebrew name, Saul. Remember King Saul from the Old Testament? No doubt Saul of Tarsus was named after King Saul, among possibly some other people, maybe even in his own family, who may have been named Saul. So that was a Hebrew name. Paul is simply the Greek version of that name. So when we talk about Saul, and we say, well, Saul changed his name to Paul, it wasn't really a change in the way that some other people changed their name. Jacob had his name changed to Israel. Well, that was a change. That's a completely different name. Abram had his name changed from Abram to Abraham. That's a completely different name. What Paul does here, what Saul does, is he simply goes from being called by the Jewish version of his name to being called by the Greek version of his name. And I think there are many reasons that he does that. One is he wants to get away from the reputation he had as Saul. I did that when I was in about fourth grade. You all know my parents. Well, not all of you. Most of you know my parents. And you know that my mom and dad call me Adrian. They named me James Adrian Pasley when I was born. And they called me Adrian. That was my name. Well, when I was in about fourth grade, the movie Rocky came out. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Rocky, you know that he had a girlfriend whose name was Adrian. And of course, he'd holler out, "Yo, Adrian!" And so when that movie came out, people began to make fun of my name Adrian quite a bit. So over the summer between fourth and fifth grade, or maybe between third and fourth grade, I don't even remember now, I changed my name. I didn't really change anything. My name was still James Adrian Pastor. I just started going by James because I wanted to get away from that reputation of being Rocky's girlfriend. So I wanted to change from what had been to a new future. And that worked pretty well for me. And I think it probably worked for Paul as well. And he changed to get rid of that old baggage that comes along with that name sometimes. Another reason that he might have changed his name that I think would have been a good one and effective for him was the fact that he preached to the Gentiles. And it's very, very interesting that, you know, here he was, a Jewish man who had been part of the Sanhedrin. And yet he's going to go to the Gentiles? Well, he went with the Greek name so that it would be less offensive and less of a distraction in his preaching, most likely. So there are a couple of reasons. So when we talk about Saul becoming Paul, but what we're really talking about is him moving from being a Jewish man to being a Christian. And that's what really happened. He changed not just the first letter of his name, but he changed who he was. You ever tried to change who you are? Now that's hard. When you have been something for 10 or 12 years, or 30 years, or 50 years, or 70 years, and then you want to go and try and change who you are and who you've been for that long a period of time, that's hard. So when we talk about change, we need to understand that these kinds of changes, this kind of spiritual growth, is not immediate. It takes time to grow and to change. It didn't take you overnight to get to be the person that you are, so you're not going to be able to become the person you want to be overnight either. It's going to take you some time to become that person, just like it took you time to become the person you are now. And it's going to take effort. We understand from the second law of thermodynamics, which is one of the laws of physics, it says in essence that everything tends to run down, to put it bluntly. It says in essence, if you don't put gas in your car will quit running. If you don't keep fixing your car up, it'll break down. That's the kind of thing that the second law of thermodynamics points out to us. The same is true of our lives. If we don't put an effort into changing them for the better or into keeping a good habit going, it'll break down on us. How many of you have ever, maybe at New Year's, you had a New Year's resolution and you said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this particular thing for the whole year. And you started out good. It was a good habit. And you did it for a week or 2 weeks or a month or 2 months. Maybe you even did it that whole year. Maybe you said, I'm going to read my Bible every day this year. And you did. You read it that year. And maybe you read all the way through the Bible. You know, we have those little sheets that give you if you read this many chapters a day. And maybe you made it that year. But the next year, you just kind of got away from it. Maybe you slipped one day and you said, well, I'll catch up tomorrow. I'm too busy today. And then the next day you say, oh, well, this is twice as much to do. And now, you know, and then you get frustrated and you say, oh, it's just too much. And you gave up. And so that next year, even though you've done it good the year before, you see, you've got to keep making the effort. Because what naturally happens is that we go downhill. Well, I think about it. We understand that with our physical health too, don't we? I mean, physically, you got to keep exercising. You've got to keep eating right. You got to make an effort to do those things or your health just gets worse and worse. So we need to understand that spiritually speaking, those same things are true. We've got to make an effort or else spiritually our health is going to decline. So sometimes we think, oh, well, I obeyed the gospel, I became a Christian, and now everything should just be, it's all going to get better from here on out. It's not just naturally going to get better. You cannot, without putting an effort in, go uphill. So we need to understand some of the ways that we can help this spiritual growth process. Hopefully so that it doesn't take as much time as it would have to if we don't put as much effort in. But here are some things that are necessary for change. One thing that is necessary for change, for conversion, for growth, is a change in what you do, your actions. You have to change what you do. That's what Saul did. He changed what he did. Notice verse 1 of chapter 9 of the book of Acts. We're going to spend a lot of time in Acts, but we're not going to focus only on it. We're going to look at some other verses as well, but we are going to start with Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Okay, that's who he was at the beginning of Acts chapter 9. Do you remember who this fellow was? Do you remember he was the one who had everybody lay their coats at his feet while they stoned Stephen? That was him. He was taking responsibility for the stoning of Stephen. And here he is then, a chapter later, and he was still breathing out threats and murder. He was still trying to slaughter the disciples just like he had Stephen. And he was expanding his operation. He was going to go to Damascus and find some Christians there to get them and arrest them. This is who he was at the beginning of our story. But he changed. Let's look down to verse number 20. Immediately, this is after his conversion then, after he was baptized in verse 18, and he got something to eat because he had been fasting for 3 days and three nights, immediately he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Verse 21 says, then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? They said, wait a minute, who is this guy? He changed his actions, didn't he? Verse 1, he's breathing out threats and murder and slaughter and trying to persecute the church. Verse 21, people are going, who's this guy preaching about Jesus? Wasn't he the one who was persecuting the Christians? And yet here he is. He's one of them. So he changed his actions. We need to change our actions if we want to change our life. If we want to grow, then there are changes that we need to make. And one of them is in our actions. So Acts 9:21 shows that he made his change. Romans 6:20 through 22 tells us how we need to make our changes too. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit did you have in the things of which you are now ashamed? We should be ashamed of some of the things that we've done in the past. Sometimes we keep wallowing in them. That's not the way it ought to be. We ought to be ashamed of those things. For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves to God, you have your fruit in holiness, righteousness, and the end is everlasting life. He's talking about changing our actions. We need to do things differently as Christians than we did before we became Christians. So think about it. Are you still doing the same things you did before you became a Christian? If you're still doing those same sinful things, you need to start working on changing those actions. Again, remember, it's going to take some time. It took you a long time to get into these bad habits and doing these bad things. And it may take you some time to get away from them. But you got to work at it. It's not going to happen naturally. It's not like, you know, we can take that light switch and we can switch that switch off and the light goes out. We can switch that switch on and the light comes on. But our lives don't work that way. I can't just come over here and switch a switch or push a button and my life just changes. And, oh, well, okay, that's the end of that. That'll never happen again. It'd be nice if it was that easy. But it doesn't work that way. We have to put the effort in each and every day. I think about Alcoholics Anonymous or any of the other 12-step programs. The first thing that they recognize is in their steps, they recognize that you know they're powerless to do it on their own, that they need a higher power, that they need God to help them. And once realizing that, but then they've got to realize each and every day is another day of battle. And they go, how many days have you been clean? Or how many days have you been dry? And they focus on that. Well, it's been 3 days. So I said, 3 days? Yeah, 3 days. That's 3 days that they won, that they succeeded in changing their action. And, you know, they give out little little buttons or coins or different things to, for, you know, this is 1 week, this is 1 month, this is for a whole year, if you've done it for a whole year. And they encourage each other. Well, we need to encourage each other, too, to change our actions. So because many times our spiritual growth is hindered by the sinful actions that we're continuing to practice in our life. We need to not only stop doing the bad things, but we also need to start doing the good things. We need to do things that are going to enhance our spiritual growth. We need to start coming to Bible study, coming to attend worship. We need to start doing good things. You know, if we've been lying, we need to start telling the truth. If we've been stealing, we need to stop the stealing and start giving. And we need to make those changes to do away with the bad and do the good. But then secondly, we see that as Saul became Paul, one of the things that is necessary for that change is a change in relationships. Change in relationships. In Acts 23 and verse 25, notice what happened. Now this is just a couple verses later. Now remember back in verse 1, he was out there persecuting the Christians. But here we are in verse 23. It says, "Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him." I guess there was a little bit of a breakdown in their relationship. Because he was changing. And he wasn't still hanging out with them. And he still wasn't supporting the same things they were supporting. He had changed his relationship. But their plot became known to Saul. And they watched the gate day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. So here we have, here's a guy who was out there trying to persecute and arrest and kill the Christians, and he was hanging out with these Jews, and now then we have a situation where the Jews are hunting him down and he's hanging out with the Christians. He's changed who he has relationships with. Now, we understand that as Christians, one of our goals is to influence others and bring them to Christ. That's an important part of being a Christian, is bringing others to Christ. But one of the things that we've got to understand is, if we keep the wrong relationships, there's a better chance that they're going to drag us back out into the world than that we're going to drag them into the church. Sometimes it's necessary for them to see the change in us before they have any reason to want to change themselves. Does that mean that we can't ever talk to anybody that we talked to before we became a Christian? No, certainly not. But our relationships change because we're different people. We're doing different things. We're not going to the clubs. We're not going to the bars. We're not going to the parties. We're not going to the dances. Instead, we're going to church. We're going to Bible study. We're going to sing at the nursing home. We're going to do spiritual things instead of doing all of the physical worldly things that we used to be doing. We're not listening to the same music. We're not watching the same shows. We're not telling the same jokes. We're not doing the same things that we used to do. And so we're going to be uncomfortable around those people, and they're going to be uncomfortable around us. Now, hopefully not to the point that the Jews that Saul used to be friends with changed, so much so that they wanted to kill him. Hopefully our friends aren't going to have that kind of feeling toward us. But there's going to be some distance there, or we haven't really changed. If we keep going and doing the same things, then there hasn't really been a change. What's more, we're going to get new friends. We're going to start getting friends who are going to pray with us and study with us and encourage us to do good things. We're going to meet new friends at church. We're going to be encouraged to make relationships with people for a different reason. We're no longer just looking for a relationship to see what we can get out of it, but we're looking for a relationship of how can I bring this person to Christ? And it's going to change things. Are you continuing to maintain relationships that drain you spiritually or drag you back down, keep you from doing what you should do as a Christian? If so, you may need to change some of those relationships. You may have to cut somebody off and say, I'm sorry, I can't see you anymore. I'm sorry, I know we used to have a lot in common, but I'm different now, and I don't do those things anymore. Or it may be that if you just start doing the things you're supposed to be doing as a Christian, they'll naturally draw away from you. Because they'll know you. It's something different. Not the same person that they used to be. We need to have relationships in our lives that are going to build us up spiritually. That's what we need. Okay, third, one of the things that's necessary is a change in thinking or thoughts. Change in our thoughts. Somebody said, well, that's going to affect the actions, isn't it? Yes. That's going to affect the relationships, isn't it? Yes. But you know, it's possible to change your actions and still have the same thoughts for a while. It's possible to change your relationship but still be thinking the same kind of way. But this step is so very important. We have to change the way we think. We have to quit thinking worldly thoughts and start thinking spiritual thoughts. Galatians chapter 1 and verses 11 through 19. I failed to mention on our relationships 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communication corrupts good morals, or evil company corrupts good habits. That's what happens when you get in the wrong relationships. That's 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. In Galatians 1, verses 11 through 19, we see Paul's change in the way he was thinking. Remember, before, he thought that the people who preached about Jesus were heretics. He thought they deserved to die. We see that in his actions beforehand. But here we go. Galatians 1 and verse 11, he says, But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. So here we have Paul. He's saying, you know what, I changed. I used to be so zealous for the tradition of my fathers, the Jews. I used to be so into the Jewish religion. I was excelling beyond everybody else. In other places, as he describes those things that used to be so important to him, he says, I count them as dung. Feces, waste. He said, those things that I used to think were so important, now I know the only thing they're good for is to be flushed down the toilet. Now, you want to talk about a change in thinking, a change in attitude. What about us? Are we having that kind of change in our thoughts? Romans 12 and verse 2 says, Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to the world. We're supposed to be transformed. we've got to get over this obsession with this life, with the physical things of this world, with the fashions and the popular music and the popular games and the popular movies. And you know what? Those things don't matter. Can somebody tell me what the top grossing film of 2006 was? Anyone? Nobody cares. Even the worldly people don't care anymore, and it's only been 2 years ago. Why should spiritual people care? And yet, we are obsessed by these things. I heard somebody griping about the gas prices today, and I don't like them either. But I tell you what, you know, as much as people gripe about the gas prices, those same people are going out and buying brand new video game systems that cost $400. They just got in line to buy the newest CD for $25 or $30. Or the newest game for the Nintendo Wii or for, you know, or whatever. And they're spending $40 or $50 or $60 on those things. Got in line and stood in line to go see a movie for, you know, $10 a piece. Certainly in some of the bigger cities. I know it's not that much around here, but, you know, it's $15 in New York to go see a movie. You know, and drove there using up gas to go do it. And then complaining about the gas price. But you understand what I'm saying? People are so obsessed with this physical world. Does that mean that the gas prices don't affect us? Of course they affect us. Do the fashions affect us? Yeah, it's hard when a lady goes to the store and can't find a modest outfit to buy. Yeah, that's tough. It is. But that doesn't make it okay for us to keep thinking that way. We are not of this world, and we need to quit acting like we are. We spend more money on physical things than spiritual things, and I'm not talking about food that we have to eat or the house that we have to live in. I'm talking about things that aren't necessary to life, and we spend so much more on those things than we do on the things that would help us grow closer to God. Differently. This polygamist group that was out in Texas, and certainly we don't want to advocate the kind of things that they did, but it's amazing to see the kind of closeness that they had. They took a ranch, a piece of land, that when they bought it, I think they paid something like $200,000 for it. And over the few years that they had it, maybe it was only 3 or 4 or 5 years, something like that they had it, now the value of that property is valued at $20 million because of the construction. You know, they built buildings and all these kind of things. And you say, $20 million? How did that group of people come up with, you know, how did they make $20 million? Well, I guarantee you this. They weren't standing in line to see whatever the hottest, latest movie was on the weekends. They weren't paying $70 a family or $100 a family for cable TV or satellite TV. They weren't doing those things. Now, we understand that they were messed up religiously, yes. But I tell you what, we can learn from everybody. We need to understand, they had a goal in mind. And they worked toward that goal. If we want to be spiritual, we're going to have to work toward that goal, and we're going to have to change the way we think. We're going to have to change what's important to us. Paul said, I changed. What used to be important to me isn't important anymore. And what I used to think should be stamped out and destroyed, now I think it's the most important thing in the world. And we need to change the way we think. But then we see that Paul also had a change in plans and direction. A change in his plans and his direction. In Acts chapter 9 and verses 26 and following, we see, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. See, instead of trying to persecute the disciples, he changed his plan. He tried to join in with them. But they were afraid of him. They didn't really believe. They weren't so sure about his change. You know, they were afraid, well, maybe he's just a spy. Maybe he's just pretending to be a Christian so he can get in among us and find out who everybody is and then, you know, destroy us. You had to watch out for things like that. So they were a little skeptical. And of course, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared how he had seen the Lord and so forth, and about how he had been preaching at Damascus so boldly. We understand he changed his plans. He changed his direction. Started doing different things in different ways. And we need to do that too. Do you still leave God out of your plans? Do you plan your little life the way you want it to go? Or do you understand that He's in control and I need to plan my life according to Him? James 4, verses 13 and following, James says, "Go to now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make gain, whereas you don't know what will happen on the morrow. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do thus and so. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." We make our little plans. We make those little plans, but we've got to understand that we better include God in those plans. If we want to grow spiritually, and have we changed direction? You know, one of the saddest things to me to see is someone who used to be a child of the devil. And I mean living for the devil, doing every evil thing they could, and change a lot of things about their lives, but never change direction. Still be following some of the lies of Satan, thinking they're religious, believing they're religious, acting like they're religious, but still facing judgment day, headed the wrong direction. That's sad. Have you changed direction? You know, the devil doesn't care which direction you go to get to hell as long as you just don't go the one direction you have to go to get to heaven. You see, that's the amazing thing about it. When there's only one direction that'll lead you to the right place, every other direction, you know, a circle, which, you know, a compass, it's 360 degrees. Only one will lead you straight north. The other 359 degrees on that compass will lead you to the wrong place. You know, if you were trying to go to the North Pole, want to go see Santa Claus? But if you wanted to make it to the North Pole, you've got to follow exactly north. If you get off by 1 degree, you're going to be miles and miles from the North Pole by the time you get up there. You'll be in the wrong place. Just being 1 degree off left or right, you're going to be miles away. And certainly if you're 90 degrees off, you're going to wind up in Europe instead. You know, you're not going to make it up north. We've got to understand there is only one way to heaven. That one direction that will lead us there. And if we're not heading in that direction, we need to change our direction. We can't change the compass. Understand that, right? You know, sometimes we want to change God's compass. It doesn't work that way. We've got to change direction. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Where's your emphasis? Where's your direction? Where's your focus? Are you keeping your eyes on the prize? Or are you allowing your eyes to wander around the world, looking at everything else that there is? But we've got to change our actions. We've got to change our relationships. We've got to change our thinking. And we've got to change our plans and our direction. If you're not willing to do that, you will never grow. It's not possible to grow without changing those things. Those things are necessary. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you can become one today. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you've already taken the first step. If you'll be willing to repent, see, that's what we're talking about, changing. That's changing some of those actions, changing some of those wrong thinking ways that you had. If you're willing to repent, that's the second step. After repenting, if you'll be willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you're almost there. If you'll be willing to submit yourself to be baptized as Jesus commanded, Matthew 28, verses 18 and following, Mark 16, verse 16. You can become a Christian. Now that's still just the beginning. After you become a Christian, you'll be a new babe in Christ and you'll have to start growing. You're going to have to start shedding all of those things that will hinder you from growth in Christ. And you'll learn more and more of them as you move along. You'll find that people you thought were your friends weren't your friends. You'll find that things that you thought were good for you aren't good for you. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps as a Christian you haven't been growing as you should. Perhaps you've been allowing all these things to hinder you. If you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.